हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमाविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 106, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 9, Further Considerations of Devotional Principles. 1.2.151 Entreaty, verse 86, is illustrated in the Skanda Purana. By making entreaties to the Lord with words, the bolt on the door of liberation is released. Because that's the only way that you can actually get free from material entanglement is by the Lord's grace. Mm-hmm. So by taking shelter of the Lord, then one is can. That's how then one can be released from the material world.
What is the difference between entreaty and prayer?
Same. Like that. Entreaty just means you're you know, asking something of somebody in a appropriate way. Like that. It's just a fancier word.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The wise have explained that there are various types of entreaties to Krishna, such as prayers, admission of incompetence, and expressions of longing. Right? So prayers is one aspect of it. So that's why it's broader.
Yes.
Right? Srila Prabhupada, submission. In the Skanda Purana, there's a statement about submission unto the lotus feet of the Lord. It is said there that those who are sober devotees can offer their submission to Krishna in the following three ways. One, sampar tanatmika, feelingly offering prayers. Two, dainyabodhika, humbly submitting oneself. And three, lalasa mayi, desiring some perfectional stage. This desiring some perfectional stage in spiritual life is not sense gratification. When one realizes something of his constitutional relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he understands his original position and wants to be reinstated in this position, either as a friend, servant, parent, or conjugal lover of Krishna. That is called lalasa mayi, or very eagerly desiring to go to one's natural position. Mm-hmm. This lalasa mayi stage of submission comes in the stage of perfect liberation, which is technically called Surup Siddhi, when the living entity understands by perfect spiritual advancement and revelation his original relationship with the Lord. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Samprartana, prayers, are statements coming from persons who have not attained the stage of bhava. Lalasa, statements come from persons who have attained bhava. That is the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In some sense, because they've attained that, but they want to be situated in their service.
Yes.
Right? So that's the whole point, is that one may have one's position, one may have that general mood, and that, but still you have to apply yourself in that. Does that make sense? Just like we have the, you know, in the case of the gopis, they have their spiritual form, right? They're gopis, they're in Braj. But the point is that they may or may not, that means the ones that would be in this situation are the ones that have not attained that position.
Yes.
You know? It means they're gopis, but when Krishna blows his flute, are they going or not?
Yes.
Do they get stopped or not?
Yes.
Right? And even if they are going, then we see that due to the attitude, then Krishna leaves.
Yes.
Right? And then they're desiring, then you see there in their there are different prayers, there are different ecstasies than that absorption in Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah, so then it takes that position. But even you see they're situated in that position, just like we see in two instances, there's the aspect of the queens at the sacrifice at Kurukshetra. I mean, they're talking with Draupadi. Then each of the eight, because they're discussing how they all got married to Krishna, right? And so then they're all that prayer that they may be, you know, Krishna's servant. Does that make sense? Yeah, so you even see, the whole point is that element of always wanting to be in that position and all that, it's not something that's, right? You know, it's just like we said, is the aspect of, okay, we're hearing about how by the holy name, then all, you know, once purified of all background of this and that, and then we're thinking, okay, so now what? Right? The point is that's the difference. These devotees, they want to do service, they want to continue, they want to be situated serving Krishna. Or we're thinking, okay, now I can sit back, vacation time, you know, I chanted at one name, you know, all the sin of the universe is there, I can't even commit that much sin, so hey, I'm good. But these devotees who are offering prayers here are not thinking like that. Yeah. So this lalasama, desiring some perfectional stage. Yeah. Right? So Prabhupada's mentioning it very nicely.
So the step is like reciting the prayer as a Vajrayaka Acharya, doing our prayer, and after intensify.
Yes. Like yes. Means they're offering the prayers because it's just naturally what they do. And there may be different moods and different things and how they're situating themselves. So it's a matter of all these aspects. Now some may see what we have to understand is that you have one book that deals with the whole process. Prabhupada says it's the complete science of Bhakti Yoga. Mm-hmm. So as a complete science, then that means that means that it's got everything in it, all the stages, all the levels.
Yes.
And so then for us, we should, by introspection, know our level. Right? Can't say, oh no, but it says here about this. Yeah, that's for people on that level. You know what I'm saying? It's so, because it's in conclusion, and it's so clear and straightforward, because the point is the lower levels are to get to that topmost level. Right? We're used to a system that starts here, and it's ascending. Right? But this process descends. So it means it's descending from that topmost platform and then extending down to where we are. You know what I'm saying? But just like, I mean, in either case, it's a point, but let's say we're in a well. Right? And someone lowers a rope down. Now, in that rope that's lowered down, it has all the levels all the way to being out of the well. But you have to be realistic that where you're grabbing the rope, that's where you're starting. You can't claim, well, yeah, I'm at the top, I'm almost out, you know. It's by where you are. So it's already there. While in the other, it's ascending, so where does it get to? Ascending process never gets out of the world, so it never actually gets somewhere. So therefore then you can feel you're on the top of the pile. But in the descending process, you can't be the top of the pile because the top of the pile is above you. You know? It's always above. So, yeah. So that's why that's why you have all these different levels are there. And why then in studying it, so that in the beginning we're studying, so in the first year we're studying it, but we're only studying the first 19 chapters or 20 chapters, whatever it is, in the Eastern Ocean. Right? So now that we've gone through so many other aspects, now we're doing the whole book. But we can see is that the depth of what we're seeing now, because you can see Prabhupada's commentaries, they haven't changed. Right? But you can see that stuff you see here one may not have seen before. It's kind of like, yeah, Nectar Devotion, we read that, and, you know, oh, we should read this by this one, that one by that one. Mm-hmm. But you see here, it's like, you know, it's all there. It's just that the language is simpler. So if we like that academic or that, you know, very, you know, the enthusiast language, then we, you know, but the point is what's there and what works is given.
The analysis can also indicate that after this shift we have a little change consciousness.
Yes. Yes. You can see it. The process where it says always hearing and chanting about Krishna works.
Yes.
Like that. One starts to have more of an appreciation. One starts to, yeah. 153. That's why it's recommended. Prabhupada's been mentioning doing these courses, you know, since back in the 70s or even the late 60s. But they never really got established nicely. In the 90s, then they started being a regular thing that were kind of, you know, it was a bit alternative, but it was okay. But it's only until recently that it's, you know, a standard part of the programs. You know, like that. So you see, it works. That works. Okay. 153. Tatra samprartanatmika. Yata padme yuvatinam yata yuni yunam cha yuvatau yata mano bhiramate tavan mano bhiramatam tvayi. Prayer samprartanatmika vigyapti is illustrated in the Padma Purana. Right, so prartana, you know, it's the same thing. That's one of the books by Narottam Das Thakur.
Oh, yes.
Right? And then he has another book called Lala Samayi. Mm. Right? Does that make sense? Isn't it? Or no, there's a prayer in there called that. Like that. Just as the minds of young women are attracted to a young man, and the minds of young men are attracted to a young woman, may my mind be attracted to you. Srila Prabhupada. In the Padma Purana, there's a statement of submission and feeling by devotees praying to the Lord. My Lord, I know that young girls have natural affection for young boys, that young boys have natural affection for young girls. I'm praying at your lotus feet that my mind may become attracted unto you in the same spontaneous way. Right? Because it's just spontaneous. There's no formality there. The example is very appropriate. When a young boy or girl sees a member of the opposite sex, there is a natural attraction, without the need for any introduction. Without any training, there is a natural attraction due to the sex impulse. This is a material example, but the devotee is praying that he may develop a similar spontaneous attachment for the Lord, Supreme Lord, free from any desire for profit without any other cause. This natural attraction for the Lord is the perfectional stage of self-realization. Right? So here, the mundane is based on the sex impulse, Prabhupada says, but there is based on that affection for Krishna. So that's the whole point, is that love is the natural position of the living entity. That becomes transformed or perverted into lust. So we see it still works and it still has the same kind of principles. But the point is the material keeps you here while the spiritual takes you there. 154. Admission of worthlessness. Danya bodhika vigyapti. In the Padma Purana, vigyapti. I think one of them is called vigyapti. One's called Prartana, is the other called Vigyapti? Isn't there something? Vigyapti is something, no? O Supreme Lord, there is no one as sinful as me. No one who has committed so many offenses. What can I say? I am very ashamed to ask you to remove those sins. Right? Srila Prabhupada, in the same Padma Purana, there's a statement about the submission in humbleness, right? Because this is a matter of humbleness. Right, because one day one devotee said, oh, I'm the most fallen, I'm the most this, that, Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything. Right, because they're saying it and thinking, yes, you know, aren't I praying so nicely? So Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything. You know, because it's a matter of, it's a mission of humbleness. Right, in humbleness, right? It is stated there, my dear Lord, there is no sinful living entity who is more of a sinner than myself. Nor is there a greater offender than myself. I am so greatly sinful and offensive that when I come to confess my sinful activities before you, I am ashamed. This is a natural position for a devotee. As far as the conditioned soul is concerned, there's no wonder that he has some sinful activities in his past, and this should be admitted and confessed before the Lord. As soon as this is done, the Lord excuses the sincere devotee. But that does not mean that one should take advantage of the Lord's causeless mercy and expect to be excused over and over again while he commits the same sinful activities. Such a mentality is only for shameless persons. Here it is clearly said, when I come to confess my sinful activities, I become ashamed. So, if a person is not ashamed of his sinful activities and continues to commit the same sinful activity with the knowledge that the Lord will excuse him, that is a most nonsensical proposition. Mm-hmm. Such an idea is not accepted in any part of the Vedic literature. It is a fact that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one becomes washed clean of all sinful activities from his past life. But that does not mean that after being washed off, one should again begin sinful activities and expect to be washed again. These are nonsensical propositions and are not admitted in devotional service. Someone may think, quote, for a whole week I may commit sinful activities, and for one day I will go to the temple or church and admit my sinful activities so that I can become washed off and again begin my sinning, end quote. This is most nonsensical and offensive and is not acceptable to the author of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, right? So it's a position that one is in, but it's not that you take advantage of it. Right, so that there is this kind of thing, there is this aspect of where you're understanding the position, admitting, confessing, like these aspects before the Lord. But it's a matter of trying to progress. Yes. Not just a temporary thing where you feel like that. Does that make sense? So, I mean, not that these moods aren't going to be come and go, but you're sincerely trying to move forward. Right? 1-2-155. So that submission is always good. Now somebody going back and doing nonsense again, that's the problem. Yes. Right? Yes. That makes sense. 1-2-155. Longing, lalasa mayi vigyapti, is illustrated in the Narada Pancharatra. O Master of the Universe, when will you, accompanied by Lakshmi, say with a deep voice to me, eager to serve you with chamara, please come here. Srila Prabhupada. In the Narada Pancharatra, there's a statement. Of submission accompanied by the desire for perfection. The Lord says, my dear Lord, when shall that day come when you will ask me to fan your body, and according to your pleasure, you will say, just fan me in this way. The idea in this verse is that the devotee is desiring to personally fan the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That means he is desiring to become the personal associate of the Supreme Lord. Of course, any devotee in any capacity, either a servant, friend, or conjugal lover, always has direct association with the Lord. But according to his different individual tastes, a person desires for just one of those relationships. Here, the devotee is desiring to become a servant of the Lord and desires to fan the Lord, as does his internal energy, Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. He also wishes that the personality of Godhead will be pleased to give him directions as to how to fan. This submission with transcendental desire, or lalasa mayi vigyapti, is the highest perfectional stage of spiritual realization. The highest perfectional stage. So that means, as it said before, it's on the platform of bhava. Because when we say perfectional, that generally means bhava. That prema is beyond perfection. Another example is presented. O lotus-eyed Lord, when will I dance on the bank of the Jamuna with tears in my eyes while singing your names? Srila Prabhupada. In the same Narada Pancharatra, there's another expression of submission, wherein the devotee says, my dear Lord, O lotus-eyed one, when will that day come when on the bank of the Jamuna I shall become just like a madman and continue to chant your holy name while incessant tears flow from my eyes? End quote. This is another perfectional stage. Lord Chaitanya also desired that, quote, a moment will appear unto me like 12 years of time, and the whole world will appear to me as vacant on account of not seeing you, my dear Lord, end quote. One should feelingly pray and become eager to render this particular type of service to the Lord. This is the teaching of all great devotees, especially Lord Chaitanya. In other words, one should learn how to cry for Krishna. One should learn this small technique, and he should be very eager and actually try to become engaged in some particular type of service. This is called lalyam, and such tears are the price for the highest perfection. If one develops this lalyam, or excessive eagerness for meeting and serving the Lord in a particular way, that is the price to enter into the kingdom of God. Otherwise, there is no material calculation for the value of the ticket by which one can enter the kingdom of God. Right? You can't buy. The only price for such entrance is this lalyam, lalasa mayi, or desire and great eagerness. Jiva Goswami's commentary. Superficially, this appears to be a prayer, some prarthana, of someone who has not manifested bhava, since he is praying for it. Some prarthana belongs to someone without the appearance of bhava, whereas lalasa mayi, or lalasa, or prayers with intense longing, belong to a person who has manifested bhava. However, when a prayer, some prarthana, is filled with a similar longing, expressing such bhava even though not attained, it is also called lalasa. Thus, this example is classified as lalasa mayi. Prayers and longings such as these are given here to illustrate the topic, but actually they should be understood to be examples of Raga Nuga Bhakti. Mm-hmm. Right, so we're understanding the topic of just offering prayers, and that, you know, it's this feeling and this and that. But technically these are examples of Raga Nuga Bhakti. Right? Okay. 1.2.157. Reciting compositions of praise from verse 86. The wise consider that the Gita and the Stavaraja contained in Gautamiya Tantra are examples of stavas. The Skanda Purana says, the perfected sages and devatas respect those whose tongues are ornamented with the abundance of jewel-like verses of praise of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, reciting notable prayers. According to great learned scholars, the whole Bhagavad Gita contains many authorized prayers, especially in the 11th canto, where Arjuna prays to the universal form of the Lord. Similarly, in the Gautamiya Tantra, all the verses are called prayers. Again, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are hundreds of prayers to the Lord, so a devotee should select some of these prayers for his recitation. In Skanda Purana, the glories of these prayers are stated as follows. Devotees whose tongues are decorated always with prayers to Lord Krishna are always given respect even by the great saintly persons and sages. And such devotees are actually worshipable by the demigods. Mm-hmm. Those who are less intelligent want to worship different demigods for some material gain rather than worship Krishna. But here it is stated that a devotee who is always engaged in offering prayers to the Lord is worshipable even by the demigods themselves. The pure devotees have nothing to ask from any demigod. Rather, the demigods are anxious to offer prayers to the pure devotees. Right? So if we say that by devotional service one develops all the qualities of the demigods, and the demigods worship devotees, yes. So it's natural that then Vaishnav Seva is the standard aspect of our process. Mm-hmm. Right? So we always see is that one's associating with devotees, one's serving devotees, one's doing all these things. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's a natural thing. The demigods do it, so why wouldn't we do it? 1.2.159. In the Narasingha Purana it is said, he who praises Madhusudana with stotras and stavas in front of his deity form is freed from all sins and attains the planet of Vishnu. In the Nisringa Purana it is stated, any person who comes before the deity of Lord Krishna and begins to chant different prayers is immediately relieved from all the reactions of sinful activities, becomes eligible, without any doubt, to enter into the Vaikuntha Loka. Jiva Goswami's commentary. Though stotra and stava are non-different, there is some slight distinction. The former is not composed but found in scripture, whereas the latter is self-composed. Stotras, which are not composed by one, are for practicing using one's speech. The stavas, created by a devotee, expresses individual emotions. Nevertheless, here it has been said that the wise consider the Gita to be a stava, verse 157. This is because the reciter practices speaking of written praises, Gita in its stotra portion, but with intense personal devotion, its stava portion. Devagre means in front of the deity form. Does that make sense? So you have the aspect of stotras means those prayers from scripture. Stava means then prayers that are made by the devotees. Right? Now, you can also have, as pointed out here, is that those prayers by devotees, those heartfelt prayers by devotees that are in scripture, they all can also be called stavas because they're their heartfelt prayers. Yes. But since they're from the scriptures, they're stotra. Yes. Right? But it also, you see, as Prabhupada mentions, that we say the prayers of the notable prayers, and at the same time as we also, say our own feelings.
Yes.
Like that.
No, it is like a prayer, glorification, same type of meaning.
Yes, yeah, all the things. Like that. Because you see, is they're all glorifying the Lord, but then there also you have the aspect of where there's kind of a prayer.
Yes.
Like that. So we see is that, like in the Gita, Arjuna's, then it's very nice, that submission, that surrender,
yes,
like that, the glorification of the Lord. 1:2, 1:60. Tasting the food remnants of the deity, verse 86, from Padma Purana. Okay, so now we're getting down to something we can relate to, right? He who always eats outside the inner sanctum, the remnants of the Lord's food sprinkled with water from the Lord's feet mixed with tulsi, achieves the results of 100 billion sacrifices. All right. Now we're... of course, you know, thousands, tens of thousands, millions, now 100 billion.
Yes. One needs 10 times.
Sorry?
If one needs 10 times, it will be a billion.
Yeah. But now, notice it's interesting here from Padma. What, he who eats outside the inner sanctum, because otherwise, if it didn't say that, then pujaris, you know, come, take the plate, you know, put it behind the deities there, you know, where the thai come, clean everything nicely, do all the pujas off of that, go back there, eat a few things, then come out with the plate. You know. I've even heard of that where devotees come out, they just like they're carrying the plate. But if you ask them a question, they can't talk. You know, because they put stuff in their mouth and just...
Yes.
Like that. I've heard of a few stories like that.
Sometimes they hide in the deity room, only they hide.
Oh, that's another thing. Yes, that's there. But the point here, it doesn't say you can't hide it there. It says you can't eat it there. That's the whole point. Srila Prabhupada, partaking of prasad. There is this specific statement in the Padma Purana. A person who honors the prasad and regularly eats it, not exactly in front of the deity, along with charinamrita, the water offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, which is mixed with seeds of the tulsi tree, immediately can achieve the results of pious activities, which are obtained through 10,000 performances of sacrificial rites. Jiva mm-hmm. Goswami's commentary. The phrase purato murarehi means from the temple, antapuram of the Lord, with the verb particle missing. The real meaning is after going from or avoiding the temple room of the Lord. Just in case you weren't quite... No. Well, maybe that's your opinion. But, okay. Purata murarehi also means in front of murari. But such a meaning is rejected since eating in front of the deity is an offense. Right? So you could say in front of the deity, but it's already been said don't eat in front of the deity. So then you take it by the meaning of don't eat the temple room of the deity. So therefore in the temple room and in front of the deity you're not eating. Okay. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Taking purato murarehi to mean in front of murari, chewing tambula in front of the deity should be forbidden. But regular eating is not forbidden in front of the deity. Right? So that means you have some little stuff like that. You sit down with a full meal and that, then you want to close the curtains. But You know what I'm saying? So, because it's where you can't, means right in front and, you know, directly there and then eating. No, it means you go to the side, you know, some will say, oh, that's in front of the deity, but it's not.
Yeah.
You know, it's like where you give the China meat on the side, or, you know, sometimes they give a little something and that, like that. So.
In Bhagavad Gita also, and Krishna is starting Karma Yoga. So first thing he tells about this practical thing is this offering of food to the Lord, it must all the sins.
Yes, yes. Because that's the one thing that everybody can do.
Yes.
You know, all living entities, right? It means you can even, you know, put, you know, prasad, the trees can eat it, right? You know, the animals can eat it. You know, children can eat it. Everybody can eat it. People with faith, people without faith, so therefore it's very special. So hearing the kirtan, taking prasad, that's the most powerful of them, because that will, everybody will get involved. So, 1.2.161. Tasting the foot water of the Lord, verse 86 from Padma Purana. Those who drink the foot water of the Lord achieve the supreme goal, even though they have not performed charity, sacrifices, Vedic study, or deity worship. Srila Prabhupada, drinking Charinamrita. Charinamrita is attained in the morning while the Lord is being washed before dressing. Scented with perfumes and flowers, the water comes gliding down through his lotus feet and is collected and mixed with yogurt. In this way, this Charinamrita not only becomes very tastefully flavored, but also has tremendous spiritual value. As described in the Padma Purana, even a person who has never been able to give in charity, who has never been able to perform a great sacrifice, who has never been able to study the Vedas, who has never been able to worship the Lord, or in other words, even one who has never done any pious activities, will become eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. He simply drinks the Charinamrita, which is kept in the temple. In the temple, it is the custom that the Charinamrita be kept in a large, big pot. The devotees who come to visit and offer respects to the deity take 3 drops of Charinamrita, very submissively, and feel themselves happy in transcendental bliss. 1.2.162. Smelling incense offered to the Lord, from verse 86, from Hari Bhakti Shudodoy. The action of the nose, smelling the incense offered to the Lord, fully destroys the poison of karma inflicted on those bitten by the snake in material existence. Srila Prabhupada, smelling the incense and flowers offered to the deity. In the Hari Bhakti Shudodoya, there's a statement about the incense which is offered in the temple. Quote, when the devotees smell the good flavor of the incense which is offered to the deity, they thus become cured of the poisonous effects of material contamination, as much as one becomes cured of a snake bite by smelling the prescribed medicinal herbs. End quote. The explanation of this verse is that there is a herb found in the jungles which expert persons know how to use to revive the consciousness of one who is bitten by a snake. Simply by smelling that herb, one becomes immediately relieved of the poisonous effects of the snake bite. The same example is applicable. When a person comes to visit the temple and smells the incense offered to the deity, he is cured at that time from all his material contamination. Any devotee coming into the temple should always offer something to the deity, fruit, flowers, incense, etc. One cannot offer anything in cash, something else must be offered. In India, the system is that all the ladies and gentlemen who come in the morning to visit the temple bring so many things. Even one morsel of rice or one morsel of flour can be offered. It is a regular principle that one should not go to see a saintly person or the deity in the temple without an offering. The offering may be very humble, or it may be priceless. Even a flower, a little fruit, a little water, whatever is possible, must be offered. So when a devotee comes to offer something to the deity in the morning, he is sure to smell the good flavor of the incense, and then at once he will become cleansed of the poisonous effect of material existence. Right? So since they're coming to the deity, offer things, then they'll smell the fragrance, like that. Yeah. And then, so each one of these is glorious. Each one, you know, has so much benefit, you know, so let alone if you're doing all of these ones, you know. That's why you see Prabhupada's morning program is so perfect, because basically everything being discussed is part of the program. 1:2, 1:63. Smelling the garlands offered to the Lord, from verse 86, from a tantra. When the fragrance of the garlands of the Lord enters the nostrils, immediately the bondage created by piles of sin is destroyed. Right, piles. Right, just, you know, and we're saying, you know, desire seeds. So piles, you know, that's a lot. Right? Srila Prabhupada. It is stated in the Tantra Shastra, the smell of the garland which was offered to the deity in the temple enters into a person's nostrils. Immediately his bondage to sinful activities becomes clear. And even if one has no sinful activities, still, by smelling such remnants of flowers, one can advance from Mayavadi, impersonalist, to devotee. Because if he has no sins, how is he in the material world with no sins and he's not a devotee? Yes. So he has to be an impersonalist. Yes. Right? So therefore, then he'll advance to devotional service. There are several instances of this. A prime one being the advancement of the four Kumaras. They were impersonalist Mayavadis, but after smelling the remnants of flowers and incense in the temple, they turned to become devotees. From the above verse, it appears that the Mayavadis, or impersonalists, are more or less contaminated. They are not pure. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, why are they still here? Yeah. But they may not have the same kinds of sins that others have. Yeah. But still, yeah. It's beneficial.
The Mahashiva is only, in the example of Satokumara, it's only one time, I think.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same thing for Shadamukha, for incense.
Yeah. No, you have stories of someone just one time taking part in these, and then they go back to God. Yeah, they change like this. So that's the point. That's the potency of this. We may not have that faith, so then we may carry on how we were before. But that purification is there. It's just that we have to, how you say, as it said here, wake up and smell the garland. You know, and then you change. But that's the idea, you should change. Yeah, the fish ate and then they went back to Godhead. Okay. That story, they were Achyutananda Maharaj and Yashodananda Maharaj, they were walking with in Sri Rangam, right? He was walking with the head pujari. And there's a kund there. I don't remember if it's square or round or something, but the road is there, you know, that's up high, and then you have this very short wall. You know, it's just kind of like railing height. And then it drops right down into that pukur. And then if you keep going around, there's steps and you can go walk down to it. So he was explaining as they came by and they saw the pukur, he said, and he was just saying and walking. You know, they were there and they were there with him and they said, and this pukur is where, you know, how you say, Ramanujacharya washed his hands and the fish went back to Godhead. So it says anybody who bathes there then goes back to Godhead. And he's continuing talking. And, you know, he gets no response and hears this big splash. So he turns around and looks, and they're not there. He wonders why. He looks over the wall, and they're in the water. They didn't even go around. They just jumped straight over the side. They hear, just you bathe, you go back to like that. So he's impressed. Okay, that faith, because he's probably told that story a million times to other, you know, Sri Vaishnavas, that no one's ever done that. You know, possibly not even gone down to the water and sprinkled their head. But these guys just jumped straight over the side. You know, so. Yeah. So. We hearing him tell the story of that, then we went around and went down the steps. But he was telling his story about how that happened. You know, so that's that enthusiasm, that faith. That, you know, that it's impressive because the guy was talking about it, you know, years and years later. You know, that would have been 10, 15 years or more later. 1:2, 1:64. From Agastya Samhita, it is said that the nose smelling flowers and Ganda offered to the Infinite Lord is the most complete purification in this world. Srila Prabhupada, it is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. One who has not washed off all reactions of sinful activities cannot be a pure devotee. A pure devotee has no more doubts about the supremacy of the personality of Godhead. Right? So that's the problem. The reactions of sinful... we're worried about getting rid of the sin, but it's the reactions that are the actual thing. Reaction means how it affects your consciousness. We're worried about the reaction, what kind of difficulty it's going to create. But the reaction in the way of it constricts the consciousness. That's the main part. So that's why it says a pure devotee has no more doubt. But so that means about the supremacy of the Lord. So that's what these sinful things do. They restrict that faith. So one has to have that desire, that drive for that. And thus he engages himself in Krishna consciousness and devotional service. A similar statement is found in the Augusta Samhita. Just to purify the impurities of our nostrils, we should try to smell the remnants of flowers offered to Krishna in the temple. 1.2.165. Touching the deity, verse 86. Yeah. So since it's about, just as a side point, since it's about smelling them, it's not, it doesn't say touching the nose to the flowers like that. It says smelling. So if someone's taking the flower around, you have to put it in front of their nose when they can smell, not when they're chanting. You know, it's like, you know, during the kirtan when you're chanting, so your breath is going out, that's when they put it in front of your nose. Like that. So you have to, it has to be when they're not chanting. When the lead singer is chanting and then everyone else is not chanting, they're listening, that's when they get. And when the lead singer is, when he's not singing, he's listening then. Like that. Just as a, just in case you just wanted to know the technicality.
Yeah, so we need to offer to sing a devotee first.
That's good. Or you want to make sure there's some smell left, because otherwise, I've had a flower smell so good, gave it to somebody like that, and they smelled it, so and they handed it back, there was no smell left.
Yeah.
You had that happen? Yeah, it's so funny, it's just like, you know, like, I didn't know you could smell the smell out of a flower, but they did.
Like some flowers, we can turn for the smell to come.
Yeah.
After some time, it's less.
Yeah.
Marigold.
Yeah, marigolds, especially. Yeah. You have to with them.
Yeah. So when we have actually, for example, with marigolds with deity, we can turn it, means touch the marigold that is smelling more for the deity.
Yes, why not? Like that. If you have a huge pile of them, but if you only have a couple, then you can do that. You know, so it's like, because you see in some places the flowers are very difficult to come by. So then you try your best to make it bigger. But if you have a whole plate full, then you don't have to worry. If there's no flower, no smell, then you can put something. Why not? But, camphor? I don't know. I tend to put other stuff. But yeah, something to smell nice. 1.2.165, touching the deity, verse 86, mentioned in Vishnu Dharmottara. The pure, faithful person who touches the deity of Vishnu becomes free from the bondage of sin and attains all desires. Srila Prabhupada, touching the deity. In the Vishnu Dharmottara, there is a statement. About touching the lotus feet of the Lord, it is said, quote, only a person who is initiated as a Vaishnava and is executing devotional service in Krishna consciousness has the right to touch the body of the deity. End quote. In India, there was agitation during Gandhi's political movement because the low-born class of men like street sweepers and chandalas are prohibited, according to Vedic system, from entering the temple. Due to their unclean habits, they are prohibited. But at the same time, they are given other facilities so they may be elevated to the highest grade of devotional service by association with pure devotees. The man born in any family is not barred, but he must be cleansed, right? So the point is, as they're saying here, is, you're stopping the street sweepers and chandalas. That's because as they are, they're going into the temple.
Yes.
They go home, take a bath, put on clean clothes, then they can go. But it's that if you're doing dirty things, you don't go in the temple. The pujaris don't go in the temple unclean. You know, so that's the whole point, is people go to the temple clean. But the sweepers and chandalas, they tend to not, so that's why then they're not allowed. Does that make sense? Now, some may think it's just because they're in that group they can't go. No, it's not that. You're clean, anybody can go. So you do have those that materially take advantage of that, but you also have them in their position, right? That cleansing process must be adopted. Gandhi wanted to make them clean simply by stamping them with a fictitious name, Harijana, children of God, right? But everybody's children of God. But also the dogs are children of God, right? You know, so. And so there was a great tug of war between the temple owners and Gandhi's followers. Right? So they're trying for these sentimental things that sound very, very nice. Like, as we say also, is that all living entities, you know, are part and parcel of Krishna, and all these things, and one should have that compassion for all living entities, you know, all these elements, but it's all in connection with Krishna consciousness. So when they're applied from the mundane, you know, platform of trying to be nice and wonderful, then it lacks something. Because the problem is the cleanliness. The problem is not their background. Is that sense? Yeah. But anyway, the present law is the law of all scriptures. That if anyone is purified, he can enter into the temple. Actually, that is the position. Only one who is properly initiated, who is properly following the rules and regulations, can enter and touch the deity. Not all. Right? So, if you're clean, you can enter the temple. But only if you're clean and initiated, then you can touch the deity. And one who touches the body of the deity following such regulated principles is immediately delivered from the contamination of material sins. And all his desires become fulfilled without delay. Jiva Goswami's commentary. This is a glorification of touching the deity for those qualified to do so. Yeah, because it's mentioning all aspects, but still, that doesn't, you know. That's what's so special about Hare Krishna. Whether you're clean or not, you can chant. Yes, yes, but still you have to be clean enough to go in the temple. But yes, that's the whole point, is then everybody gets that benefit of touching the deity by the Kshatriya. Because that was the point, is that whatever his name was, the devotee? Nam Alwar. But how did it have the name? Because he was also known as Shatavari? Shatari Alwar. Yeah. Because I think it was, because the Shatavari, how do you say? Prana, or like that, the life air. Then, when it's time to be born, it pushes and the child's born. But he's already a realized person. He didn't want to be born. So, despite the air, he just stayed there. So he's, I guess, somehow, however they convinced him to, you know, like that, so there he's known as just Shatavari. Namalwar. This is Namalwar. Okay.
He's famous as Namalwar.
Okay. So then, he then prayed to the Lord that everybody get this blessing. So then that Kshatriya was made.
He predicted that during this time, after Mahaprabhu coming 500 years, there will be thousands of devotees coming to Srirangam and doing Namasankirtan. And they will be jumping in such a way that their legs touch to the head.
Wow.
And Bhagavan Maharaj took Yatra to Srirangam, one of the main acharyas, he was telling this. This was Namalwar's prediction.
Prediction, okay.
The foreign devotees will come and translate them.
Okay. Very nice. Yeah. 1.2.166. So the idea is that qualify yourself. You know, chant, purify yourself, you know, move forward in the process, take initiation. You know, these things, take advantage of the processes given.
Actually, more than these people, the politicians, they have, because they want to political side, they aggravate these people, but you are also qualified.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just something to do, because if they don't, it's like basically since they do nothing, you have to find something to do. You know, it's like Naikaj Koi Baj. You know, like that. You know, it makes a lot of sound. It looks like it's a lot of volume. So that was what Prabhupada was saying about Gandhi and his followers. Then they make all this trouble. like that. I think it was in, I'm not sure if it was in Tamil Nadu or in Kerala, that they actually kicked all the Brahmins out and brought in all the fishermen. And to do all the puja and everything like that. And I can't remember what it was, but it was a matter of like days. And the fishermen said, we'll go back to fishing, let the Brahmins do this stuff. Because it's like, you know, because they're out fishing. They're out there with the water, the fresh air, the open. You know, they do what they like when they like and all that. The other, they had to follow all the rules. They're in the little deity rooms. There's so many lamps. It's hot. It's sweaty. They got to do that every day, day in and day out, and this and that. So they just said, let the Brahmins do this. But they tried, yeah.
And I was talking to such a group. People, why people don't allow us also to do worship. Then I spoke all these things, the formalities of doing deity worship, and said, okay, thank you.
Yes, yes, no problem. Yes. We're good. Like I remember it was about one instrument maker. He was, because the discussion was coming up why no one makes Veena, and why no one wants to deal with Venus. He said the main problem is that these other instruments, you know, they're kind of designed and all that by the moguls and all that, the form that they're in now. But the Veena is original instruments, the Vedic instruments, so you have to deal with it properly. They said the main thing is that the rule is you have to be clean before you work on it. So you have to have it taken a bath and everything like that. He says that's the main reason no one wants to work on it. Because then, they have to follow some regulation and be pure and all that. You know, because they just want to work. You know, like get up in the morning, go do some work, and then go take the bath, and then, you know, do stuff like that. Or, you know, so that's the problem. Yes. You see, you explain it, then nope, I'm not going to do it. One 166. Seeing the deity from verse 86 from the Varaha Purana. O Earth. Those who see Govinda in Vrindavan do not go to the city of Yama, but achieve pure bhakti, the goal of all punya. Srila Prabhupada. Right, so Yama means you've done sinful, you'll see Yamaraj. You've done pious, you'll see Yamaraj. Like that. But by pure, you achieve pure bhakti because it's the goal of all punya. So then they never see Yamaraj. Srila Prabhupada, seeing the deity. In the Varaha Purana, there is a statement praising the seeing of the deity of Sri Krishna in the temple. Devotee says there, my dear Vasundhara, any person who goes to Vrindavan and sees the deity of Govindadeva is freed from the courthouse of Yamaraj and is allowed to enter into the highest planetary systems in which reside the demigods. End quote. This means that even an ordinary person who goes to Vrindavan out of inquisitiveness and by chance sees the temple, especially that of Govindadeva, even if he is not elevated to the spiritual kingdom, is still assured promotion to the higher planetary systems. This means that simply by visiting the deity of Govinda in Vrindavan, one becomes highly elevated in pious life. Right. So they don't see Yamaraj, then after this life it means they're qualified, they go back to Godhead. If not, they'll go to the heavenly planets. Mm-hmm. So you don't, Jiva Goswami's commentary. Speaking to all people the glories of seeing the deity, and speaking of all forms of the deities, the author, overcome by ever-increasing devotion, particularly glorifies seeing Govinda, Bhagavan, the most excellent form of the deity. Bhakti is the highest goal of the human being. Savai pum sam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhoksuche. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.6. Therefore, the wise consider bhakti to be the goal of all pious activities. Thus, punya kritam gatim, the goal of those who do punyas, actually means bhakti, the final goal of all punyas, as understood by the wise. End quote. Right, so of all punyas, the highest is bhakti. Because these other punyas will get you some places, facilities here, some places in this world. But the punya of bhakti will take you back to Godhead. 1.2.167. Seeing the arati of the Lord from verse 87, illustrated from Skanda Purana. The face of Vishnu, lit by the lamp from the Arati lamp, burns up 10 million sins of killing brahmanas and 10 million sins committed in the past and to be committed in the future. Right. Srila Prabhupada. Observing Arati and celebrations of the Lord. Or Aratrika. Okay, Arati or Aratrika. Okay. In the Skanda Purana, there's the following description of the result of seeing Arati, worship of the deity. Quote, if someone sees the face of the Lord while Arati is going on, he can be relieved of all sinful reactions coming from many, many thousands and millions of years past. He is even excused from the killing of a brahmana or similarly prohibited activities. Now, why mentioning killing of a brahmana? Because Manu says that there is no prayaschitta for killing a brahmana. Like that. It just, there isn't one. So, this is the only thing, seeing the Lord devotional, that can remove this sin. And that means, and that's if it's unintentional. If it's intentional, just, you know, forget, you just forget about it, you know, that you're not going anywhere. Jiva Goswami's commentary. This verse speaks of seeing the Aratrika of any of the authorized deity forms. Kotaya is the substitute for Kotihi. Mukam is the subject of the sentence. So Koti is 10 million. Right? So he's just saying Kotaya. It's just, you know, another Sanskrit form.
Arati and Aratrika are the same?
Yes. This seems to be different forms of the word. And Mukam is the subject of the sentence, meaning seeing the Lord's face during the Arati. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't say that you get any less benefit if you're squashed in between, you know, 10,000 pilgrimages. You've seen the Lord's face, you get the same purification.
Same as you could get.
Yeah. Oh, one thing is, we'll say there's so many people, it's so packed. I've been told that in Nathdwar, when they open the darshan there of the deity, it means the people pack in so rapidly and quickly, you can actually be not on the ground and you're moving forward with everybody. Like that. So, yeah. As we say, it's packed when the spacing is less than European spacing.
Yes.
But yeah, India, they have other ideas. Like in South, they have the saying that if you threw a handful of sesame seeds up in the air, they wouldn't hit the ground. There's so many people. You know, and these are small, so that means there isn't a gap at all. No? Okay,
yeah. Actually, when people say, like, when it is full empty, they say there is, the temple is full empty, there is no thrill. There is no thrill to see the darshan.
Okay, yeah.
And when no there is full, they will say, temple is very full, like we are not able to take darshan. Both the cases, they have come.
Yeah, yeah, you have to complain, yeah. Okay, 1-2, 168. Seeing the festivals from verse 87, mentioned from Bhavishottara. The dog-eaters and other low persons who joyfully see Keshava on his chariot all become associates of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. As we have already explained, there are many different ceremonies to be observed, such as the birthday of Krishna, the birthday of Lord Ramachandra, the birthday of some prominent Vaishnavas, the ceremony of Julan Yatra, with the Lord sitting on a swing, and Dol Yatra, the Lord's activities in the month of March. In all festivals, the Lord is seated on a car, and the car moves through the different streets of the city, so that people may take advantage of visiting the Lord. In the Bhavishya Purana, it is said, quote, in such a ceremony, if even a chandala, dog-eater, simply out of curiosity, sees the Lord on the cart, he becomes counted as one of the associates of Vishnu. Yeah, so anything in contact with the Lord. Jiva Goswami's commentary. The chariot, Ratha, festival represents all other festivals as well. All those, Sarve, who see the Lord on the chariot, and even those who are lower born or have bad qualities, Swapat Cha Dayaha, become associates of the Lord, Devatanam, Ganaha, or Ganaha. Okay. So that's why these big festivals, you go out, you could take the chariots out. You take any of these festivals, people come and see them, and that, even if it's just out of curiosity, then they get so much benefit. So that's why these things are done. It means whether they think we're weird or not, or like what we do or not, the point is they're going to come. You have this, how you say, a deity come out with monster eyes in carts that they pull by ropes, and everyone's wearing bed sheets. Who's not going to go watch?
In Kolkata, everyone comes. Even so many Muslims come.
Yeah, everybody will come.
They want to.
That I know of, as far as attendance, Calcutta Rath Yatra is the biggest after Puri in the world. Like that. So it's big. But you see, you know, other places also, they can have, you know, San Francisco is quite big, New York's big. So different places, but still. Yeah, everybody wants to come and see, because I mean it's just so far out.
Even though they have three carts, it is very difficult to get the space to hold the rope.
Yes.
But it seems that now this is the main festival that you can have in the old country.
Yes. So it's just Lord Jagannath's very kind. Yeah, because he goes out. Yes. You're saying something? No. Okay, yes. So it's nice. So you see, Prabhupada, you know, introduced that, so it's a very special thing. 1-2, once, and he also mentioned, you know, the Dol Yatra activities in March. You see, is that those who do take it into the public, the holy, like here, we stay out of the way. It means, on Gaur Purnima, you do not go out the front gate before 1 o'clock. Yes. Because if you do, then you'd be covered in colors. Yes. If you go in the afternoon, you're okay. In other words, after the Abhishek, after this, then you go. Like that. But we see is that, you know, so we'll think it's something not so nice, but if it's introduced, you see that they have festivals of 50,000, 80,000, 100,000 people come. And these basically are all karmis.
Yes.
It's not the Hindu community. This is just the Westerners. They're so big. Are you doing something in America? In Ohio? No. Idaho? Colorado? Can't remember. Where the Mormons are.
Utah.
Utah.
Yes.
Like that. And that's in that state. That's known for that. And they'd get, you know, I think 50, they're up to maybe 80,000 or so now, or maybe more. They come every year. They bring all the colors. And so you have that many people throwing colors into the air at once. Yeah. It's like, you know, and they come back completely covered, you know, like that. But they all, you know, it's great fun. And so they were seeing that and seeing how it works, and then they tried it in Brazil. They got the same effect. Huge people, amount of people turn out. You know. So that's the thing, is that people like these festivals. Like that. We may not like them, but you know, they're popular, the things that people like to do.
Holy is in different parts.
They don't even just, it's not one day. It's that, you know, today it's in Barshana, then it's in Nandagan, it's just that. So basically for 1 week you just don't go out. You know? or you could go with maybe wearing a full wetsuit or something. You know? I'm not even sure that they don't even have, is it Barshana? Where's the one where they come out with all the sticks? The ladies have all the sticks and then the men try to get through and they...
At least not, I couldn't know.
But that's also unholy.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. The men all put on, bundle themselves up and try to get through, and then the ladies have these big sticks, and they're not overly kind.
Yeah, Western for one day.
Yeah, that's... yeah.
But after when it finished, after Radha Kund, there was one time. After with this stuff, you have to do other things by Kamai or the chanting. You know?
Yeah, yeah. That's right. So, that's the thing. Things about the Lord then are always attractive. Everybody can be involved. That's Rupa Goswami's point. Because the Lord's pleased, all the devotees come out and take part, interact with Him. And so then He's very calm. 1-2-169. The word Adi, verse 87, refers to seeing the worship, as illustrated in Agni Purana. He who sees the Lord with devotion, faith, and joy, after he is worshipped, or while he is being worshipped, attains eternal service to the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. In the Agni Purana is stated, quote, any person who in gladness sees the worship of the deity in the temple will obtain the results of Kriya Yoga, which are described in the Pancharatra scripture. End quote. Kriya Yoga is a practice, a system of practice much like practical devotional service, but is especially meant for the mystic yogis. In other words, by this gradual process, the mystic yogis are eventually elevated to the devotional service of the Lord. Yeah, because Kriya means the activity, so they do devotional service. Okay, so this was part 3. Okay. So now part 4, chapters 10 to 13. So 10, techniques of hearing and remembering. 11, aspects of transcendental service. 12, further aspects of transcendental service. And 13, 5 potent forms of devotional service. Right? Because they give all the processes. Right? We gave the what to do and what not to do. Right? Then you gave all the different aspects of devotional service. And as we see, as we go through, they're mainly connected with chanting, serving the deity, associating with the devotees, these aspects. And so then those are again mentioned, you know, in their more specific aspects, and then we have at the end the 5 potent forms. So in other words, they want you to do these 5 forms. Mm-hmm. Chapter 10, techniques of hearing and remembering. 1-2-170. Next, hearing, from verse 87. Hearing means listening to the name, pastimes, and qualities of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. Hearing. The beginning of Krishna consciousness and devotional service is hearing. In Sanskrit, called Shravanam. All people should be given the chance to come and join devotional parties so that they may hear. So people like parties, so this is a devotional party. You get together and have a kirtan. This hearing is very important for progressing in Krishna consciousness. When one links his ears to give oral reception to the transcendental vibrations, he can quickly become purified and cleansed in the heart. Lord Chaitanya has affirmed that this hearing is very important. It cleanses the heart of the contaminated soul so he becomes quickly qualified to enter into devotional service and understand Krishna consciousness. 1-2-171. Hearing the name of the Lord, from verse 87, from Garuda Purana. Hearing the Vaishnava mantra Krishna, which is the only effective medicine to counteract the bite of the snake of samsara, a man becomes liberated. Srila Prabhupada. In the Garuda Purana, the stress on hearing is expressed very nicely. It is said there, quote, the state of the conditioned life in the material world is just like that of a man lying unconscious, having been bitten by a snake. This is because both such unconscious states can be ended by the sound of a mantra. End quote. When a man is snake-bitten, he does not die immediately, but first becomes unconscious and remains in a comatose condition. Anyone who is in the material world is also sleeping, as he is ignorant of his actual self or his actual duty and his relationship with God. So materialistic life means that one is bitten by the snake of Maya, illusion, and thus, without any Krishna consciousness, is almost dead. Now, the so-called dead man, bitten by a snake, can be brought back to life by the chanting of some mantra. There are expert chanters of these mantras who can perform this feat. Similarly, one can be brought back into Krishna consciousness from the deadly unconscious state of material life by hearing of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Right. So, we see of the two that are there, that the hearing, that this hearing and chanting process, you know, these five main items, then details of that are these other, you know, forty mentioned activities from the fourth canto. In that assembly, excellent streams of nectar of the pastimes of the Lord emanated from the mouths of the saintly devotees. Emanating from the mouths of the saintly devotees flow everywhere. Those who drink that nectar with eager ears, with constant thirst, O King, will forget the necessities of life, namely hunger and thirst, and become immune to all kinds of fear, lamentation, and illusion. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:29-40. Srila Prabhupada. In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 29th chapter, verse 40, the importance of hearing the pastimes of the Lord is stated by Sukadev Goswami to Maharaj Pariksit. My dear King, one should stay at a place where the great acharyas, holy teachers, speak about the transcendental activities of the Lord, and one should give oral reception to the nectarian river flowing from the moonlight faces of such great personalities. If someone eagerly continues to hear such transcendental sounds, then certainly he will become free from all material hunger, thirst, fear, and lamentation, as well as all illusions of material existence. End quote. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also recommended this process of hearing as a means of self-realization in the present age of Kali. In this age, it is very difficult to follow thoroughly the regulated principles and studies of the Vedas, which were formerly recommended. However, one gives oral reception to the sound vibration by great devotees and acharyas, that alone will give him relief from all material contamination. Therefore, it is the recommendation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one should simply hear from authorities who are actually devotees of the Lord. Hearing from professional men will not help. If we hear that those who are actually self-realized, if we hear from those who are actually self-realized, then the nectarian rivers, like those which are flowing on the moon planet, will flow into our ears. This is the metaphor used in the above verse. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:59, quote, a materialistic person can give up his material hankerings only by becoming situated in Krishna consciousness, end quote. Because it mentioned before is that you have, because of ignorance, you think I'm the controller and enjoyer. Then coming into the material world, then we have so many unlimited desires to try to fulfill. Because anytime you do something, then the desire to do it again is also created. Right? So if you take one of the seeds, the sinful desire seeds, and then you apply that, right? So then it sprouts, another one is created. So it's there. You don't have to worry that you've used it up and I'll have no more desires left. No, they made that. So the materialistic can't give up these things because nothing else other than Krishna consciousness can get rid of those two. Right? You can perform pious activities and reduce reactions and this and that, but you can't get rid of the desire for this material hankering. He can't give up his material hankerings. Right? Because that aspect of kutaj that you specifically want to, you have all those ones that are there, and you have the hankering to be the controller and enjoyer. So, unless one finds a superior engagement, he will not be able to give up his inferior engagement. In the material world, everyone is engaged in the illusory activities of the inferior energy. But when one is given the opportunity to relish the activities of the superior energy performed by Krishna, then he forgets all his lesser pleasures. When Krishna speaks on the battlefield of Kurukshetra to the materialistic person, it appears that this is simply talk between two friends. But actually, it is a river of nectar flowing down from the mouth of Sri Krishna. Arjuna gave oral reception to such vibrations, and thus he became free from all the illusions of material problems. So that's the point. As Krishna is speaking these, Arjuna is giving oral reception to these nectarian vibrations, and then he's free from all illusions of material problems. I mean, you just think of the intensity. Means we have different situations where it's quite intense for us. But imagine you're in a battle that's actually between family members. And the family members have collected enough people there. It's in the millions. This is the fight. We're not talking about that, you know, you know, this one in the family got one or two people on their side, and you have one or two on your side, and then, you know, you're going at it in the living room there or something. We're talking about millions, right? And this is not they're just going to yell and scream and, you know, and snarl and, you know, how you say, gnashing of teeth and pulling of hair. This means they're going to actually kill each other, right? So in that situation, he gives that oral reception, and he, all illusions on all material problems are removed. Right? So that's the special. Yes.
After six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna concludes Bhakti Yoga is the topmost. Then there is no questions actually. But seventh chapter starts with Tarshino, you hear now, Krishna tells. And Prabhupada gave most number of lectures on that verse.
Yeah. Okay, Tarshino. Yes. Okay. Yes. So before that, he's just clearing the doubts in that. Now it's hearing about Krishna.
Yes.
Okay.
Bhakti Yoga starts.
Okay, yes, Bhakti Yoga stuff. Okay, because the Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Jnana Yoga will explain. Srila Jiva Goswami. The profuse, Shesha, rivers, Sarita, of pastimes of Krishna, transformed into words, Mukaritaha, and emanating from the devotees' mouths in the assembly, Tasmin, of devotees, flow everywhere. Mukarita means transformed into sounds or words. The sentence suggests that the pastimes have spontaneously turned themselves into words with their proper meanings, since they flow like rivers. Shesha here means excellent. Right? The profuse, the excellent river, you know, it's just like that. It means it's profuse and excellent.
Mm-hmm.
So the Krishna's pastimes have transformed themselves into these words that are flowing in these most excellent, you know, unlimited rivers of nectar. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. The profuse, Shesha, river, Sharita, of pastimes of Krishna, which are loudly spoken by the devotee in the assembly of devotees, Tasmin, flow everywhere. Hunger, thirst, trit, fear, lamentation, and illusion do not touch those who drink that nectar with constant thirst through attentive ears. Okay, so if you're always absorbed, then you're never affected by these things. It doesn't mean you don't make arrangements, but it means you're unaffected. Right? When it's lunchtime, then the lunch is there. Does that make sense? It means who's arranging the program arranges lunch. Not that, oh no, but if they're sincere about hearing that, they won't get hungry or thirst. So for this 3-day program, we're not making any arrangements for prasad or drinks or anything like that. You know? But, yes.
Like example is Sukadeva Swami.
Yes, they went 7 days. Right?
Yeah. Just, yeah.
Yes. 173. Hearing the qualities of the Lord from verse 87 from the 12th canto. The person who desires pure devotional service to Lord Krishna should hear the narrations of Lord Uttama Shloka's glorious qualities, the constant chanting of which destroys everything inauspicious. The devotee should engage in such listening in regular daily assemblies, and should continue his hearing throughout the day. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.3.15. Srila Prabhupada. In the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd chapter, verse 15, it is stated, quote, a person who desires unalloyed devotional service to Lord Krishna, who is praised by transcendental sound vibrations, should always hear about his glorification and transcendental qualities. This will surely kill all kinds of inauspiciousness in the heart. End quote. Srila Jiva Goswami. One should hear every day, nityam, constantly, abhikshnam, descriptions of the qualities of the avatars of the Lord and His devotees, uttama shloka, which are sung by the great devotees. This means that one should do that with great enthusiasm. The result of such hearing is then stated, pure bhakti to Krishna, right? Because that's what one will gain. One who desires pure bhakti to Krishna should hear in this way. Here, Krishna means particularly the Lord in the form of a cowherd boy. Since the Bhagavatam denotes this form of the Lord as Bhagavan Swayam. 1.2.174. Expecting the Lord's mercy, verse 87 from the 10th canto. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, but all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances within his heart, words and body, while with his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for you, the shelter of liberation. For that is his rightful claim. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8, Srila Prabhupada. Expecting the Lord's mercy. In the 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse 8, it is said, My dear Lord, any person who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him, and who goes on suffering the resultant actions of his past misdeeds, offering you respectful obeisances from the core of his heart, is surely eligible to become liberated, for it has become his rightful claim. This statement of Srimad Bhagavatam should be the guide for all devotees. A devotee should not expect immediate relief from the reactions of his past misdeeds. No conditioned soul is free from such reactionary experiences, because material existence means continued suffering or enjoying of past activities. If one has finished his material activities, then there is no more birth. This is possible only when one begins Krishna conscious activities, because such activities do not produce reaction. Therefore, right, because you stay in the material world because of continued reactions. So if you're doing devotional service, there's no reaction, so then at some point it's all gone. Therefore, as soon as one becomes perfect in Krishna conscious activities, he is not going to take birth again in this material world. A devotee who is not perfectly freed from the resultant actions should therefore continue to act in Krishna consciousness seriously, even though there may be so many impediments. When such impediments arise, you should simply think of Krishna and expect his mercy. That is the only solace. The devotee passes his days in that spirit. It is certain that he is going to be promoted to the abode of the Lord. By such activities, he earns his claim to enter into the kingdom of God. The exact word used in this verse is dayabhak. Dayabhak refers to a son's becoming the lawful inheritor of the property of the father. In a similar way, a pure devotee who is prepared to undergo all kinds of tribulations in executing Krishna conscious duties becomes lawfully qualified to enter into the transcendental abode. Srila Jiva Goswami. In this verse, two different sadhanas, expecting the glance of mercy and offering obeisances, are mentioned together to glorify their exalted positions. They should be both understood to have great results. Mukti Pade means the Lord. The shelter, 10th topic of the discussion of Bhagavatam, of liberation, the 9th topic, footnote 1. Atra sargo visaradascha stanam poshnam utaya manvantare shanu kata nirodho muktir ashraya. Okay, that's from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.10.1. Such a person becomes the rightful claimant of the Lord, who is the shelter of liberation. The Lord exists as the property to be apportioned to the devotee. Right? So the Lord, you give yourself fully to the Lord gives himself to the devotee. So someone who is always absorbed in Krishna, no matter what's happening, whatever's going on, the difficulties that are there, because being in the material world is not a great place, right? So that absorption, then, and always expecting that, you know, Krishna's mercy, because otherwise who else is going to solve the material problem? Right? And so then Krishna, being very pleased with such a devotee, because of their surrender to the Lord, then gives himself to that devotee. So that's why it says inherits. That's why we see in the fifth stage in Bhav Sadhana, when one comes to actually the prema, that's called, what do you call it? Sampatidas, which also means inheritance. So he inherits that position of being, connected to Krishna. Right, so it means that they have that. It has become his rightful claim. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, understanding the meaning of this topic, having given up all other practices and performing only bhakti, one will attain you. However, in what manner should a person do this? In expectation of such a question, this verse is quoted. Tat here means therefore, indicating that because of the glories of the Lord mentioned in the previous Bhagavatam verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.7, the devotee acts in this way. Atmakritam vipakam means happiness and suffering that occur during performance of bhakti. All occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, according to sages, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. It doesn't mean the senses aren't engaged, but you're not cultivating it. Right? You're worshiping the Lord, you're taking prasad, so the senses are engaged. But you're not cultivating sense gratification. Srimad Bhagavatam 129. A secondary unsought result of bhakti is happiness. The results of aparadas are suffering. It springs both of these results from his bhakti, atmakritam vipakam. The devotee sees this. Shu shamik shamana. Clearly, su for shu shtu. And accurately, sam for samyak. As your mercy. He knows that the happiness and distress that he has experienced stems from the Lord's mercy alone. It is just like a father who sometimes makes his son drink milk and sometimes bitter juice made from neem leaves. Quote, I do not know, but the Lord, like a father, knows what is good and bad for me. And thus sometimes he embraces and kisses me and sometimes slaps me. I, his devotee, have no power at all over karma and time, right? Because it's not like we can do something about it. He's the one. But so, because of our attachment to an involvement, then he knows what's the proper way to do it. He alone, by his mercy, makes me experience happiness and distress and makes me serve him. End quote. The devotee considers his situation in this way, in the matter of King Preeti. Yeah. So, it's not that he's not engaging and trying absorbing his mind, because we saw before, body, mind, and words, he surrendered to the Lord and absorbing himself. Then, whatever results will come, that's by the Lord's grace. Not, oh, it's all up to the Lord, so I don't have to do anything. When the Lord wants me, he sometimes says, oh yes, when the Lord wants, then we'll, do something devotional like that. You know, I said, but somehow or another, well, did the Lord want you to do your business and all that? Did he? He hasn't told me yet. So, yeah, but did he tell you to do this business? So you have to make endeavor. The devotee considers his situation in this way, in the manner of King Preetu. My Lord, due to your illusory energy, all living beings in this world have forgotten their real constitutional position. And out of ignorance, they are always desirous of material happiness in the form of society, friendship, and love. Therefore, please do not ask me to take some material benefits from you. But as a father, not waiting for the son's demand, does everything for the benefit of the son, please bestow upon me whatever you think is best for me. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.20.31. Okay, so the Lord knows what's best.
Yes.
Right? That's right. Revealing himself daily to the Lord, offering respects with mind, words, and body, passing his life while not being unduly tormented. The devotee becomes the rightful claimant of mukti, or liberation from samsara, secondary offense, and pada, or service, primary effect, at the Lord's feet. Dandva, compound considered as one unit, mukti pade. Right? So it's lotus feet, meaning together, not that, there's this foot and that foot. They go together. As remaining alive is the cause of a good son receiving his inheritance, so the devotee remaining alive in this world with steadiness on the path of bhakti is the cause of his receiving freedom from samsara and service to the Lord. Right, not while not being unduly tormented, means he in performance of his duties is not so austere that it's a problem.
Yeah.
Right, just as you're not luxurious, so it's just what works nicely, comfortably, then that's what you do. then he, and then it doesn't mean that there's not going to be difficult situations or more nice. That's up to the Lord. You're performing your duty. You're working in your impressive. In a similar manner, it is said, only if they become your faithful followers are those who breathe actually alive. Otherwise, their breathing is like that of a bellows. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87-17. Right? Because the bellows breathe very nice, very deep, you know, very full and all that, you know, like that. Yeah. 1:2, 1:75. Oops. Time is up. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.